Coming up next on the stage, we have a great storyteller. This is, I believe, his third time doing the show. Always has great stuff to tell you. Really excited to hear from Mr. Brian Willey. Hey, Brian.
All right, well, this is my third time, and I've been very impressed by the quality of the stories that I've heard here. There have been very funny stories, and there have been some very personal stories that I've heard. I kind of, you know, had to sort of think back to what I would want to do tonight for an example of toughness or grit. And so I went back to when I was a kid. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All good children go to psych ward. I went to high school during a weird time when parents were super worried about the music their kids were listening to and the games they were playing. Specifically, they were worried about hard rock, heavy metal, and Dungeons and Dragons. They were worried about this because they feared the influence of Satan, of drugs, of sex, and of gay people. I'm not 100% on the last one, but my mother was definitely worried about gay people and their insidious effect on society through the entertainment industry. As a consequence of this concern, parents were sending their kids to psych wards and rehab centers in huge numbers. We could all relate to the song by Suicidal Tendencies, Institutionalized, where the kid is just being a kid, but his parents freak out and send him to a psych ward. In this excerpt, I have replaced Mike with Brian. I was in my room and I was just like staring at the wall, thinking about everything. But then again, I was thinking about nothing. And then my mom came in and I didn't even know. She was there and she called my name. I didn't even hear it. And then she started screaming, "Brian, Brian." And I go, "What? What's the matter?" And she goes, "What's the matter with you?" I go, "There's nothing wrong, Mom." And she goes, "Don't tell me that. You're on drugs." And I go, "No, Mom, I'm not on drugs. I'm okay. I was just thinking, you know, why don't you get me a Fanta?" And she goes, "No, you're not thinking. You're on drugs. Normal people don't act that way." This is exactly how you could end up finding out what your parents' medical insurance covered for mental health. Wearing black t-shirts, wearing flannel when it was hot out, being quiet, keeping to yourself, playing tabletop role-playing games, having friends addressed in cool and interesting ways, these all counted against you and indicated you might be in serious need of a month or two in an institution. In my case, I made things worse by actually using drugs and alcohol and being sloppy about where I hid them. It was bad when my mom found a half-full bottle of Jack Daniels under my bed when she was vacuuming, but it was worse when she found my bowl while going through the pockets of my jacket. Combined with my actual chronic depression, a hatred of school, and an avid interest in role-playing games, well, you can imagine a chart with reasons to put Brian in psych ward on one side and reasons to leave him the hell alone on the other. And that chart is heavily weighted in favor of temporarily incarcerating me. I went in for what I thought was a talk with a therapist, and I got locked in. I was very angry, and it took me a couple of weeks to figure out what they wanted to hear. I didn't actually know there was a time limit on my cure because of the insurance, so as far as I knew, I could be there for years or forever. It was terrifying. Most people there were there for rehab purposes, with a few attempted suicides. The ward shared common areas with geriatric patients, which was weird and very disturbing in some cases. This is before I even knew what Alzheimer's was, but I'm sure now that that's what a lot of them were suffering from. I learned a lot about my personal mental toughness. You have to come to terms with the fact that you no longer have any personal power or rights. You are completely at their mercy, and the more you complain, the worse you make it. It's possible to game the system, but it's bad news if you get caught. But it's human nature to survive, to persevere, and that's what I learned to do. I forced myself to make friends, first with a blues guitarist from New Mexico who was addicted to something called crystal, or meth, which I had never heard of at the time. Talking about music was incredibly soothing to my soul, but I came back from a mandatory day trip one day and he was gone, released into his girlfriend's custody. I hope he stayed clean. There was also a woman who played piano. She looked like a cute corporate executive of some kind with a great sense of humor. She was in trying to kick her addiction to cocaine, which was a drug that I had heard of. I left before she did, and I'd be surprised if she was able to kick it. She would get this wistful look in her eyes whenever she talked about cocaine, the way people look when they talk about the one that got away, or that time they won a boatload of money in Vegas. I started showering regularly and making an effort to dress in street clothes once that was allowed. At first, I had to wear hospital clothes, which is to prevent escape and to hammer home the point that you are, in fact, a prisoner. My buddy with the meth problem got me exercising, doing push-ups and sit-ups. It helped my mental state, and the staff liked seeing that. It showed progress. I would lead sing-alongs of Boston songs while my coke-loving friend played piano. It was fun, despite sounding like a bunch of desperate people screaming for help in Hell's Lobby. And it showed leadership, more progress. I got over my humiliation of being locked up, and I wrote letters to my friends, who were kind enough to bring me food and magazines and books. Besides keeping me from going actually crazy, which was a very real possibility in there, it showed an outgoing, social nature. The staff liked that. Finally, there was a big meeting between the staff and me and my parents. It was tense, as some members felt I wasn't completely sincere and wanted to keep me there. But this is when I learned about the limits of insurance. My dad pointed out that the insurance company would not pay for any more inpatient time. The staff suddenly agreed that I was cured. Now I know that I can survive under very harsh conditions, at least for a while. But to this day, I don't know what exactly I was being treated for or what I was cured of. Some things in life, they just stay a mystery. You have to be okay with that. Thank you.
Brian and Lily, everybody. Brian, thank you so much. No joke, but it breaks my heart that parents would do that to somebody. Oh, my God, that's awful. But now I do have a joke because this is a comedy show. So maybe, Jim, you'll remember this. Jim and I went to the same high school. It was a Catholic high school. They made us watch this video in freshman year religion class about staying away from all of Satan's influences, which, of course, was drugs and alcohol and heavy metal. This video was made in the 80s. We were at freshman in 1998, and the scene I always remember from the video was this girl who's wearing a cross necklace, goes into a record store, and she picks up Hysteria by Def Leppard. Hysteria by Def Leppard. And she looks at it, and then she hides her cross under her blouse and goes to buy it. Def Leppard is evil, I guess. Apparently that was the best example they could come up with for satanic music, was a bunch of British dudes who sang like 10-part harmonies and choruses. The fuck? I'd be more willing that Tom Schultz is some kind of closet Satanist. He's the guitar player from Boston, P.S., you guys. You may not have known that. I like Boston.